Phil, and all of you. We felt very blessed to be among you, and it's part of the treasure of Christ. We're his body, and because of that, we mean a lot to each other. Faltering, failing as we are. I've been thinking about Psalm 3 just this morning, and Psalm 3 starts, "O Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me?" And many are saying of me, God won't deliver him. And we can feel that way. We can feel spiritually like we're goners. We're washed up, finished. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You bestow glory on me, and you lift up my head. Father, be with us. Bestow glory on us. In the name of Jesus, we ask, by your Holy Spirit, lift up our heads, those who are bowed down. You lift up. We thank you for the work you do. Continue that work as your word is read and explained now, for your glory's sake. And in the name of Jesus, in whom you bestow glory on us, which is as shocking as it is wonderful. Thank you for the blood of his cross. Amen. Well, keeping going in faith, that's what we want to do. And I have this piece of paper that I wrote on this piece of paper a week or so ago, even us, even us. If you look at Colossians 1, verse 21, it says, "And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds." And the funny thing is, the word that's translated "and" there can be translated even us. Because there we were looking last week at this total reconciliation of the totally divine Son, reconciling everything in heaven and on earth to the Father. Everything, bar nothing. Whether in subjugation under a kind of, you know, rebels brought into submission against their will, but nonetheless reconciled because Christ won a cosmic and eternal victory as he disarmed Satan on the cross, as he shed his blood for us, or in joy-filled salvation and rescue and redemption from the domain of darkness. Everything reconciled to the Father through the Son, by the working of the Holy Spirit, even us. When you watch a film, you experience the creative, technological genius of a whole bunch of people. You watch the credits go up and you see there's more and more people seemingly in the credits these days. It's just a whole big operation that comes together to produce this amazing kind of blockbuster film that you're sitting there. But you're sitting there vegging out on a sofa with popcorn and stuff that's not good for you, sugary drinks and that kind of thing. And what did you contribute? And there's an irony there that I'm not sure I'm entirely comfortable with. You've got all this creative ingenuity on the one hand, and you've got me on the other. Last week we looked at the total divinity of Jesus expressed and going to work for us and for our redemption and the forgiveness of our sins. That was verse 19. The total divinity of Jesus. And that divinity went to work for us and for our redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And we looked at the total reconciliation effected by the cross. All powers and dominions joined in subjugation under the lordship of our crucified Saviour, as well as all the faithful joined to him as he makes total peace by the blood of his cross. And there's an irony there too, isn't there? I mean, is that the same kind of thing? I mean, we just sort of veg out in sin. And while we're still enemies, Christ dies for the ungodly. There's me sprawled on the sofa spilling popcorn, and there's Christ stretched out on a cross to the point of suffocation, spilling his blood, the blood of his cross. That's what it cost him, the blood of his cross. Look at verse 20. That's how the bringing together of everything happens, as Christ makes peace by the blood of his cross. So you've got this kind of everything in earth, on earth or in heaven, and this peace made by the blood of Jesus' cross. And then there's a sort of a parallel phrase in verse 21, if you look at it. You who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, is now reconciled in his body of flesh, or the body of his flesh. So you've got the blood of his cross, and you've got the body of his flesh. All of that for our reconciliation. It's not as if the blood of his cross does the kind of the heavenly all things in heaven and on earth, and then the body of his flesh does the reconciling of even us. It's just the whole package is achieved by his broken body on the cross and his blood shed for us and for our salvation on the cross. And it has, as we saw last week, cosmic implications and effects. But what can we or anybody else possibly contribute? Nothing. Are you entirely comfortable with that? The peace and reconciliation that you from which you benefit in the Lord Jesus is totally, from start to finish, a work of his total divinity. You don't feature at all. It's 100% Jesus and 0% you and me. Are you happy with that? Maybe you feel a bit offended by that. There is an offense in the gospel. Or maybe you feel a little bit guilty. You know, like the way we feel when we go to visit a friend and we didn't bring anything. I should have put... And then you go to the... Sorry, I didn't bring... And your friend's like, well, I don't care if you didn't bring anything. I'm happy for you to... But you can't... You kind of can't live with it. You're sort of... I should have brought something. And you feel guilty. And your friend just wants you to accept a gift and accept his hospitality and accept the food put in front of you and, yeah, just enjoying your company. And you're there... We don't. It doesn't sit easy with us. This whole kind of 100% Jesus, 0% us thing. We don't know what to do. And yet there is something that we're being called to do today. We're not being called to be too proud to accept help for anything, and we're not being called to be sponges who always look for a handout and any excuse not to do any work. What God is calling you to do today is to continue in the faith. The title of this sermon, Keeping Going in Faith. It should be keeping going in the faith. Not just faith, but the faith? Well, you do that by respecting this condition of verse 23. This call to continue in the faith. So we're focusing, as Phil said, on verse 23. And there's that alarming word at the start of the verse. If. Last week, the job was a good one, wasn't it, in Christ? Job's a good one. It's all done. His total divinity has gone to work to achieve total reconciliation, giving total peace for us. Job's a good one. If. What do you mean, if? It's like, you can have this house worth £750,000. Here's the key. Yeah. If you've got a 75 grand deposit to put down and you're pulling in 150 grand a year to secure the mortgage on it. Ah, there's the catch. Is that what this is like? Is that what this if is doing in this passage at the beginning of verse 23? Is that what it's doing? If. I thought the job was a good one. Well, the job is a good one in Christ. And here's the thing. You need to remember and to be continually reminded that the job's a good one in Christ. Continue in this faith in Jesus' total divinity, total reconciliation affected by the blood of his cross, total peace that you enjoy in the name of Jesus with the Father by the work of the Spirit. And this blessing, this reciprocal blessing that we've been enjoying over the course of this placement, we carry on in that. It's the love that God has put in our hearts by the Spirit, and that grows. All fruit of this blessing that we've come into. 0% us, 100% Jesus. And we carry on in that same vein. We don't graduate from needing to totally 100% depend on the blood of his cross, the body of his flesh broken for us and for our salvation. You don't graduate from that. Job's a good one. So you continue in the faith. And my first point, there are 2 points. Continue in the faith, stable and steadfast. Read it there in verse 23. If indeed you continue in the faith, one, stable and steadfast. So the second point is going to be, if you continue in the faith, what? Two, not shifting from the hope of the gospel. That's point two. Okay? If someone says, faith, you know, that's a flexible word, isn't it? It's a kind of, you know, shape it how you like it, how you fancy, malleable concept. If your faith works for you right now, that's fine, but if the novelty wears out, you pick another one off the shelf, it's all good. Ever thought about Islam? What do you say? You say, no. The fullness of the deity did not dwell in Muhammad. Muhammad never rose from the dead. He can't save anybody. And neither can the God he proclaims. Continue in the faith. Stable and steadfast. I was reading the lyrics from one of the late George Michael's songs from back in 86 or 87, I think it was. You've got to have faith. You've got to have faith. But what is that? I mean, it sounds like a nice idea. But we're talking about the faith. George Michael didn't say, you've got to have the faith, you know, the one and only in the risen Lord Jesus. That's not what his song was about. Faith is nothing without a reliable object. If Christ wasn't the firstborn from the dead, then our faith would be useless. If you need someone to hold you, but you're waiting for something more, as the song goes, well, that's not what we're talking about. So if your big need, if your big aim in life is to have a life partner, a companion, be that of a heterosexual nature, a homosexual nature, or just a good friend, it's not the thing to hang all your hopes on. It's not the thing to let govern your entire life. It's not the faith. So don't let that desire, and in some ways that desire can be a healthy desire, you know? As a 40-something-year-old man with young children, I woke up one day and I was like, you know what, I feel a bit lonely. I feel like, my mates, where are they? And I felt the need for strong male friendship. It felt absent. But don't let those desires, whether that's for a spouse or a buddy, don't let that destabilize your steadfast holding on to Christ. You can bring that desire to him, but don't let it destabilize your steadfast holding on to Christ. Then you won't need to wait for something more in the form of someone to idolize. Continue in the faith, stable and steadfast. Point two, continue in the faith, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. So what's that hope? It's the hope of the gospel. Okay, so that word gospel seems to relate to some kind of future-based good that you can bank on because of the security that Christ's redemption supplies. It's a future-based good that you can bank on because of the security that Christ's redemption supplies. Remember, the job's a good one. You can bank on it. You have been delivered, redeemed from the domain of darkness, and this transfer has occurred because of the goodness of the Father who's redeemed us in the Son. And so the hope of the gospel is good. So there's an orientation, there's a direction to this faith, orientated by the hope of the gospel. Let's run through some, just to clarify that, let's run through some other references to hope in Colossians. If you look at 1:5, chapter 1, verse 5, what is that hope? It's a hope laid up in heaven, which you hear about in the word of truth, the gospel. Chapter 1, verse 12. Paul prays that the Colossians will be thankful for the fact that in Christ they have been qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. No darkness, all light. That's where we're moving to. That's our inheritance. That's what we've got to look forward to, as well as all the saints. So in chapter 2, verse 18, actually, Paul's going to say, let no one disqualify you. You have been qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints. You are qualified in Christ. So don't let anybody disqualify you and say, well, you know, are you doing that or this religious practice? If you're not, then not sure if we can count you in to this inheritance of the saints. Get out. I've been bought and paid for by the blood of the Lamb. Don't come with that. Don't come with legalistic religion. You park that out, you leave that outside. In fact, you kick it into touch. Don't let anybody bring that to you. Don't let anybody disqualify you. How many are my foes, O Lord? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, Lord, God will not deliver him. Well, in the name of Jesus, in the power of the Spirit, rugby ball. Into touch. Kick it into touch. Just kick it into touch where it belongs. Continue in the faith, not shifting from the hope of the gospel. You're qualified. 1:12. We had some friends around last night, old friends. We haven't seen them for 10 or so years. And we got to know them. They live in Froome, but we got to know them in the Ardennes in Belgium. So this has been an interesting encounter and an interesting placement from many points of view. It was great to see them, but we got talking about this chap was the pastor of a church in the Ardennes where I've previously worked, and we worked together at some stage. And we were talking about a mutual friend who struggles a lot to ever darken the door of a church. She professes to believe in Jesus, but she can't darken the door of a church. Why not? Because she's hurt. She feels... She basically hates herself. And she doesn't want to inflict herself on any poor, unsuspecting saint who is qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, but perhaps not her. And you want to say, come on! Come on, the wounds were all inflicted on Christ on the cross. Remember the blood of his cross. Remember his body of flesh broken on the cross. He took the blame. He bore the wrath. You're forgiven. Come to church and join us. We're all in the same boat. We all have our dark days. Days of darkness still come over me. Sorrow's path I often tread. But my Redeemer saved me. My sins are forgiven. The hope of the gospel rests secure. It won't perish. It won't spoil. It won't fade. We're tracing through some of the other references to hope in Colossians. End of chapter 1, verse 27, talks about Christ in you. So this isn't merely Christ dying for you on the cross 2,000 years ago. This is the same Christ who rose from the dead, the risen Christ, the same Christ, the one who ascended to the Father and who is seated at the right hand of the Father and who reigns until all his enemies are placed under his feet like a footstool. And then he's going to come and that reign is going to be consummated and we're all going to see it, and it's that same Christ who is in you if you're trusting in him today, the hope of glory. And then it says in chapter 3 verse 4, and when Christ, who is your life, appears, you're going to appear also with him. How? In glory. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Where he is, you spiritually already are. When he comes, you physically and spiritual will come with him in glory. And the reign is going to be consummated and it's going to go global. Awesome. That's the hope of the gospel. Don't shift from it. Don't shift. Stick with it. Well, that's it. Done. Continue in the faith, stable and steadfast. Continue in the faith, not shifting from the hope of the gospel. Amen. But hang on. That second point isn't finished. I left off three words from the end. Look at verse 23. Continue in the faith, yes. Stable and steadfast, yes. Not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. Every Christian here today heard about the gospel, the hope of the gospel, Otherwise, you wouldn't be a Christian here today. Life hit the skids. A colleague reached out, took you to church, and you what? You heard about the hope of the gospel. This is the message that Paul and all the others have been shouting from the rooftops everywhere under heaven, as verse 23 goes on to state. Everywhere, to all creation under heaven. You may have had at one stage an incredible spiritual experience, an incredible sense of God's presence with you. And it may have been a head-to-toe kind of feeling. It may have been tears all over the place. But that led to something. It didn't stop there, did it? You went on to hear the hope of the gospel. You heard it. The word of truth. You heard it, and you found, as you heard the word of truth, that your ears were strangely opened and your heart was strangely awakened to the sound of the gospel, and you knew it was for you. And God planted it in your heart by the work of his Spirit. And you began to love these Christians who you'd previously felt were kind of arrogant so-and-sos, who felt that they'd come into all truth, and who were, you know, who were they? But you looked with different eyes. You heard. Why am I saying this? Well, because plenty of people hope. Plenty of people hope in the world. There are many things to hope in. But there's only one hope of the gospel, this gospel of Jesus Christ. Our hope isn't self-belief, self-improvement, self-actualization, or even self-gratification. Our hope is Christ. He's our vision. We've been singing it. He is the first in our heart. He's our sure hope of glory. And there's one other thing, that because this hope of the gospel is something that you hear, that has fairly large evangelistic kind of implications, doesn't it? We came into this family of believers, the family of God, the household of faith. We came into it by hearing. Now, Paul doesn't say in this verse, he doesn't say, if you continue in the faith, being a good, godly, zealous evangelist all the days of your life until Christ comes. He doesn't say that. He doesn't make that a condition of keeping going in the faith. But he does state very clearly that this, the hope of the gospel is something that we hear about. And that to not have heard and really understood and appropriated this gospel for yourself is to continue on in the domain of darkness. And there's no hope there. So if we have these hearts of thankful hearts that Paul has prayed that the Colossians would have, if we have these thankful hearts and we know that the people around us who aren't trusting in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins, that what has to happen is for them to hear this gospel and come into this hope. Well, that's gonna influence the way that we live our week this week, isn't it? We're going to say, Lord, make me, refresh me in my thankful receiving of your peace in Christ that I have because of no goodness in me, 100% Jesus, 0% me, and take me out to share this hope of the gospel with others who badly need it. Take me out, Lord. Go with me. I can't go on my own. I can't do it by myself. Take me out. Use me to spread this love of the Spirit in North Bradley or wherever you happen to be. Paul asks for prayer. And at the end of Colossians, he says, remember my chains. Paul is so devoted to people hearing about the hope of the gospel in Christ in all creation under heaven. He's so devoted to that, he's even banged up for it. He's in chains for it. But he's written this letter from that place of being in chains, and here we are reading it many hundreds of years later, and it's still bearing fruit. This gospel is still, it's absolutely unstoppable. The gospel can't be chained. You can chain the apostle, you cannot chain the gospel. So go for it. And don't buy the lie that says, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. The gospel is not a lifestyle. The gospel will change your life. It will change your lifestyle because of faith and hope and love. But the gospel itself is not a lifestyle. Don't confuse those things. If you buy the lie, it's like cutting off the fuel supply to an engine. Don't buy the lie so that you can continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. Let's pray together. And I'll hand over to Phil. Father, we thank you that even we have come into this faith, this peace with you, that we were once, we realize, strangers, aliens, enemies, but you reconciled us to the Lord Jesus. And just, Father, please help us to continue in the faith. We don't want to buy into another faith. We don't want to forget the glorious hope of the gospel. So would you please, Father, write these words on our heart. And yes, the gospel that is not a lifestyle, but Father, please change our lives. Change us, make us more thankful, and make us more willing to go out and share this hope of the gospel in a hurting world, in a broken world that needs also others to experience this redemption from the domain of darkness and coming into the kingdom of your Son, your beloved Son. Please, use us. Take us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your good pleasure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.